Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this late on a Tuesday night. The Kings back on the home floor, taking on a Clippers team without Kawhi Leonard. A Clippers team that's been up and down, but the Kings have their own concerns. No Malik Monk anymore, no Kevin Huerter. How are they going to respond against a talented Clippers team that has done some damage against them this year? Well, the Kings responded in a big-time way. What a performance from the Kings bench. Sabonis with his third 2020 game of the year. One assist shy of a triple-double. And the Kings hold another opponent under 100 points, the 10th time they've done it this year. But how about this?
What?
They've done it more often lately, 6 times in the last 22 games. The Kings beat the Clippers 109-95. All of a sudden, they're 44-31. All of a sudden, they're just one game, not behind the 6th seed, one game behind the 5th seed. Can you believe it?
No.
A long way to go and a tough road trip lies ahead. This podcast presented by our friends of our Northwest Exteriors. Check out TrustNorthwest.com. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
Fantastic. I love a win against a good team. Love these last 2 wins and what they look like. But the dominant performance, the way they deflated the Los Angeles Clippers, that shit's fun. It was fun.
It was a great performance. And it was a performance that not only do you hold the Clippers to 95 points, they shot 40% from the field in this game. I think the big concern after Monk went down was like, okay, what's this going to mean for the bench? What's this going to mean for creation? What's this going to mean for the energy and life of the team? But Monk goes out, Huerter's out, Lyle, Sasha come in, Davion stepped up. The bench, I think, is the story of this game tonight. We've spent so much time this year. Fox, Sabonis, Monk. And those guys have been amazing.
Yeah.
The bench the last 2 games has been great. Tonight, 39 points off the bench. Trey Lyles. He's been amazing since returning. What stood out to you about what the bench has provided?
Well, you know, I wasn't expecting this bench to rally like they have. I wasn't expecting Trey Lyles to come in his first game against the Jazz and do what he did, but then to even take another leap in this game against a better team like the Clippers, it was fantastic. Now, I will say this, because we should preface this first. Deuce, you had mentioned in our game preview about the Clippers and what their defense has looked like since the All-Star break. I get it. It has taken a dip, 100%. It doesn't mean that they're still not a good team, that right. They can't figure it out any night or, you know, on the Sacramento Kings floor. So for the Kings to come out the way they did, but then to have the other pieces like a Trey Lyles who dives on the floor, who brings a competitive energy that any team in this league could benefit from. It's fantastic. I'm just so glad he's back.
Yeah, he's been an absolute difference maker since returning. It's not just making shots. I mean, I think right now, the last couple of games, small sample size, the ball's popping. I mean, the ball movement from everybody yes. has been fantastic. It's not sticking. Guys are making the extra pass. How many times? I mean, I saw Trey Lyles get a pass, put it on the floor, dish it out, get an assist out of it.
5 assists.
Beautiful. Is that what he finished with tonight?
Finished with 5 assists.
Trey Lyles had 15 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds. He played 26 minutes in this game. Dude. After the game, he was asked about it. He goes, yeah, I was tired as shit. And he was joking that when Mike Brown kept him in that long stretch, he's like, Mike, call a timeout, man. You're killing me. But he's trying to get back in the game shape after missing some time. No, that looks great. But the defense, too, I know we're focusing on the bench for a second, but the defense has been really good, really, since the All-Star break.
Yep.
They look super connected. The rotation's great. But since getting Sasha back, and I know he's playing limited minutes still, and getting Trey back, you could tell how much they benefit from those guys and their size out there. They had to play so small at times throughout the last, month and a half, that now they could play a little bigger. I mean, we saw lineups tonight that had Keegan at the two. You saw Sasha, Lyles, and Len out there.
Yes, and you talk about the defense, but while talking about the bench, Deuce, like, Sasha had a steal tonight. Trey Lyles had a steal. Trey Lyles had a block. I mean, we will get into Alex Len and his three blocks and being the defensive player of the game for the Sacramento Kings, but you're exactly right. It's not just, hey, the starting unit and their defense, the way that they have stepped up. You're seeing the additions of having Lyles and Sasha back, the impact that it has also made on that end of the floor. And I think it's a lot of the way that they are communicating, which has been just helping this team to just kind of move on a string, trust each other, yep, be together on the defensive end. But then it's those extra little moments, the deflections by Sasha or Trey Lyles, like I already mentioned, diving on the floor, the way that when they double one guy and they're just active with their hands, I loved it.
Yeah, the rotation's just great defensively. They sprinkled in some zone at times, and that still looked good. I thought the key tonight is, like, they're trying to make, like, Zubats, like, hey, Zubats, why don't you go ahead and try to kill us on that short roll? And Zubats was 5 of 14 shooting. I'm not sure Ty Lue wants a game where Zubats is tied for the most field goal attempts in a game, right? He tied Westbrook tonight. Paul George was 5 of 12. Harden was just 1 of 7. And, you know, I know Kawhi's not in the lineup, but we're talking about guys like Paul George and James Harden, yes, who can get buckets. We've seen both these guys destroy the Kings over the years. Westbrook got it going a little bit late when the game was out of reach or whatever. But to be honest, I thought they did a great job on those guys. They sent different looks at him. They, yeah, blitzed him. And I think the biggest key now right now with the Kings defense is, yeah, the communication's great, but they're not getting torched on the perimeter anymore. Yes. And so when you're not getting torched in the perimeter, your closeouts are better. Alex Len coming off the bench, providing some rim protection. You're rebounding well. All of a sudden, you're going to find ways to win a game where you don't shoot well from three. The Kings are 28%, 12 of 42 from three, but they got it done because of what they're doing defensively.
It's so much of the little things, yep, right? Like, I think sometimes you look at a night like this and some people be like, oh, James Harden had a bad night when they look at the box score. No, no. Not just that, the Kings were doing a fantastic job, yes, hounding him. You know, everyone from Keon Ellis to Davion Mitchell, it didn't matter who it was, the perimeter deep, De'Aaron Fox, who I just like forget to mention all the time because I just feel like he's just automatically mentioned when I talk about the Kings defense and especially along the perimeter. But like the intensity and the way that they're willing to get up in guys has been such a different story, I feel like, since Keon Ellis has really entered this starting unit.
And, no doubt about it.
And it's like, with that, how, you know how many times people have talked about, oh, the Kings don't have the individual defensive pieces that they need. Sure, they can still upgrade this offseason, whatever you want to do, but you're seeing this group, this unit, or I mean, actually this entire roster together take a little leap this late in the season defensively.
Yeah, and when you add Ellis to the mix, you have Fox, who, yep, since I believe the All-Star break now, is averaging close to 4 deflections a game.
Okay.
Keon Ellis is at 3. You know, like Sabonis right around 3 deflections a game. Everyone's got active hands. Sabonis rebounding his ass off tonight. A tough matchup with Zubats. It wasn't always pretty. Those guys were going at it, but Sabonis still ends up with 20 points, 20 rebounds, and 9 assists in this game. And you go, oh, it wasn't the best Sabonis game. Like, he missed some looks. He was 8 of 17. I don't care. He kept being aggressive. And that's what I love to see tonight. One of my favorite plays is when he took it deep into the paint, coast to coast, and sprayed it out for a 3-ball in the corner. It was huge. And there were so many momentum shifting plays. One of the ones you mentioned was, yeah, when Lyles went, dove on the ground for a loose ball. Duarte came over, ripped it away, and took it all the way to the hoop. They did the little things tonight. And when you do those little things, the hustle plays, getting the 50-50 balls, winning the possession game, this is winning basketball.
And just one more possession I just, yeah, need to mention while we're excited about possessions. And I forget if it was end of the third or start of the fourth, but it was this offensive possession for the Sacramento Kings where they were just slinging the ball around. Mm. Now, they missed the shot. They get a second chance opportunity. Okay, get another good look. They get a third opportunity. And then Alex Len sets an illegal screen, offensive foul. You know, that's how that possession ended. But I think you and I were texting about it. We're just like, holy shit, the way that the ball was moving around, it was flying, it was flowing. You could feel the joy through the basketball. The energy was just absolutely beautiful on that end of the floor.
And we've talked about this before. It's a basketball cliche. Hey, the ball's got energy when it's moving, right?
It does.
There was no better example than that play you're talking about, right? Where the crowd was into it. It's like, oh my God, they are putting the Clippers defense through the ringer right now, right? It's pump fake, drive, dish, next pass. Let's look for a good look. Oh, we missed it. Offensive rebound, kick out. But that was constantly happening. The third quarter was a thing of beauty. I thought the ball movement was spectacular.
Oh, yes.
Fox had some unbelievable passes. That dish he had to Alex Len.
Oh, my God.
I mean,
my rock and soul play of the game, huh?
On the night where Fox was 6 of 20, and I went, he had a good game tonight. Like, I felt like he had a good game. He missed shots tonight, but he was doing those things, making the extra pass, 7 assists, doing what he does defensively, making all of his free throws. Let's go ahead and circle this for a second, okay?
Oh, circle it.
Since the All-Star break, De'Aaron Fox is shooting, coming into tonight, 83% from the free throw line.
Mm-mm-mm.
That would be by far a career high. He's got to keep that going. He was 7 of 7 tonight at the line.
Dude, if we're going to talk shit when times are low at the free throw line, you got to make sure to talk about when times are creeping on up. And whatever change was made mentally, maybe even mechanically, I don't know. It's great to see that these shots are being made at the free throw line. The focus, whatever it is, it's just great for the entire team. So maybe, we're not talking about it.
Maybe can help Sabonis out, huh?
Hey.
Domantas O'Neal, right?
Wow.
6 of 10 at the free throw line.
You dick.
He was going through a good stretch. They're deflating. Make your free throws. I know he can make them. Why I say that.
Well, here's why I say, like, okay, it's good that we're not talking all about the free throws, because it felt like it was a story for the entire team where it was deflating and it would end in a loss. And it's like, wait, it's a 10-point loss and you missed 12 free throws. Like, what the hell?
Oh, they've been such a better free throw shooting team since the All-Star break, too. They're right around 78%, which is 12th in the league.
Love.
And they were dead last.
Love.
They were dead last before that.
And Domas, you know, we saw those nights where he was starting to get it together, and then we've seen a few where he's missing some big ones. Where here's the thing, we're talking about all these fun possessions when they are momentum shifting plays. Well, how a missed free throw can deflate an entire team is something huge and something you got to look at too.
Man, I feel like we've been bouncing around tonight. Like
I know.
Offense. We just hit so many topics at once. Boom, 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 boom. But this game gave me a little life. You know, last game it felt good, and I remember talking to you about this. I said, you know, it's weird, but I felt like the ball was popping tonight, which is strange to say when you're missing a key piece. And I think that's probably one area through, again, sample size, well, it's 2 games. Let's not get crazy.
Two games.
But I think the one interesting thing is, like, if this continues on where the ball's moving like this and they're having some success, winning some games, you wonder if, like, this is something they should have been doing earlier. And I understand you didn't want to play exactly like you did, like, last year. You don't want to be predictable. That's why you're putting the ball in Monk's hands, Fox's hands, Sabonis, and making things happen, running different sets. But this free-flowing offense I'm seeing, where they say, you know, they describe the offense as equal opportunity.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone's got a chance. I haven't felt that a lot this year. Now, sometimes I do. The last couple of games, I have 100% felt that. And I don't know if it's just a change, a shift. I don't know if it's as simple as when you get Trey and Sasha back, who are two smart players who aren't necessarily looking to score all the time. They're like, hey, I'm just trying to make the right play. Maybe that's helped. Whatever it is, it just feels a lot better the last couple of games. That's no indictment on Malik Monk. They need Malik Monk, I think, long-term to win. I'm not hating on that. I just think this team at times this year has relied so much on Malik bailing them out, creating for him, Fox doing the same, and maybe guys are just kind of chilling.
And that's on everyone to come together and be like, look, we can't just rely on that. We got to make sure that we are also – it's not about getting yours, but it's about remaining aggressive, because that only makes the entire team better. Yep. And I know you talked about this in the pregame and you were like, look, it's different without Malik Monk, and different can still be good.
Yes.
Like, different doesn't have to be a bad thing. And it's, you go around the league and whenever you see someone missing from a roster, I mean, the amount of times you'll be like, wow, this team is playing better without so-and-so. But just because so-and-so, who is one of the better players on some of these rosters in the NBA, is out due to health, and they're playing better doesn't mean that that's just the answer. It just means that you get a different look and you see different opportunities and you see what else you're capable of as a team without a missing piece.
And to that point, I've said this a long time about Davion.
What?
Let this guy, give this guy a little freedom. Give this guy some minutes. And it's easier to do that now when you're missing Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk.
Yeah.
But this guy is shooting better than ever from three on the season. In his career, this is the best he's ever shot it from three. How comfortable does he look? I mean, he had 14 points in this game. He's attacking the rim. He had that one play that was an unbelievable high floater off the window. That was money. He's so comfortable from three. Coming into tonight on corner threes, shooting 49% on corner threes. That's a great mark for Davion Mitchell. I want to see what his updated numbers are on the season, too, because, look, he's been – this isn't just like, oh, you know, he's doing okay for this stretch. He is doing okay for this stretch, but it's really the entire season for Davion where the three-point shooting that used to be such an issue for him has improved so much. Let's see on the season here. Where is Davion Mitchell? Chill. Okay.
Right there. You missed him. I missed him. At 11.
He is shooting 36% from three. That's not like an unbelievable red hot number, but that is such an improvement for him.
Well,
and if you look at since the All-Star break,
that's the stat I was looking for.
44% from three.
Yeah, you'd sent me that the other day, and that's the one I was looking for, and how efficient he's been from three-point land. You look at 44%, and then you just look at him on the just everywhere on the floor, you know, from the field, and he's had a very efficient number. So he's feeling confident, but I'm sure he's feeling confident because that longer leash is there.
There's playing more minutes.
There's a different type of opportunity there for him. And what I love about Davion, he still understands to be disciplined and not just do whatever and not just be out there as a placeholder. He understands that he has to be a threat. Keon Ellis understands he has to be a threat. And I think Mike Brown has done a much better job putting that into these guys' brains. Like, look, you might have a short leash, but your short leash is going to be there because you're not providing. Because you're not, and it's not about providing points. It's just about providing, like, being a threat, being able to be a scorer, being willing to be a scorer, be a cutter, and do what you need to do. And that's what you're seeing more of.
My pushback on that specifically about Davion, it's hard when you come in, you know, at the 550 mark of a first quarter and then you're out of the game at 310. You know,
no, and that's what I'm saying.
It's such a smart, and that's just the rotation. That's not because he's doing anything wrong. It's like, how do you get in any rhythm when you're playing two minutes?
So what I'm saying is now that the opportunity is there because body's gone down, right? And that's where I'm at now. It's like, you still understand that leash is short. Even if bodies are down, you still got to be that threat. You got to be a willing scorer, and that's what we're seeing these guys do a much better job of.
He was great tonight. And you know what he does defensively? I think he's playing even more inspired right now on that end because he's just playing free. He's not worried about, I'm coming out in 2 minutes. Dude, when you're an NBA player, if you look at, I chart every single substitution during a game, and you can, there's a theme, right? Fox starts the game, and then 6 minute mark, 550 mark, whatever that is, Mitchell's coming in. Then he's coming out like 3 minutes, maybe, you know, like 2 minutes. As a player, you know that. Like, you're aware of when you're out there, when it's that short. You know, I mean, if you've played any game, when you get out there and you're like excited and then you get yanked 2 minutes later, you're like, wait, that's it?
And especially when there's stoppage of play and there's nothing, you had no control of anything, there's fouls, whatever. And it's just like, what are we, sometimes it feels like 30 seconds, you know, and that's, it's a terrible feeling. It's deflating and it's like, always be ready, but it's like, what am I supposed to do within these 90 seconds if there's only so many possessions that I'm supposed to, you know, actually make a play and do something on?
And so I think he's made the most of it, like you said.
I agree.
14 points for him. He had 4 rebounds, too. Again,
love the way he's been rebounding, crashing the boards.
He had 3 assists. He's creating. Two of his rebounds were offensive rebounds, too, which is awesome. He played 25 minutes. Davion Mitchell deserves a lot of love because I think he's playing confident basketball. He's being super engaged. He was actually on the radio with the G-Man after the game. Let's play some of that, right? Just in case people don't hear. You want
to
do that?
No, I would love to hear.
How satisfying is this kind of a win to close out the homestand?
Yeah, big win versus a really good team. We knew we had to come out and push the pace. We knew that they just came from an East Coast road trip, so we knew they was kind of tired. So they told us to push the pace, and I think that's what we did, and we came up with a win.
And you certainly were instrumental, particularly in a big outburst there in the second quarter when the Kings ended up getting some separation in the game. You go for 5 of 10 from the floor, including 4 3-pointers, 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Anything in particular mean the most to you?
No, I mean, I just try to stay aggressive. I mean, I know I got to be aggressive. I mean, since Malik's out, Kevin's out, so those shots are gone. So I know I got to keep being aggressive and getting my teammates involved and just shoot, taking what the defense give me, and that's what I did tonight.
And, of course, on a night when, you know, you get a handful of different defensive challenges, James Harden being among them, I'm looking here and seeing Harden going 1 for 7. That ought to make you feel pretty good.
Yeah, I think we did a really good job of crowding him, not letting him get any space, keeping him to his right hand because we know if we get left, he's really good. So, I mean, we just listened to the game plan. The game plan, we did it. We executed and we won.
How do you gauge the sense of urgency for these 7 remaining games and the ongoing scramble for playoff or play-in positioning, either one?
Yeah, I mean, we know that every game is important. Every game is like a playoff game to us, especially with the seeding going on right now in the West. I mean, we know it's tough. We play some really tough teams. I mean, I think we got to come out, be aggressive, keep pushing the pace. I mean, no one likes to play with our pace. So if we keep doing that, I think we've got a really good chance of winning most of our games.
There's Davion Mitchell with the G-Man after the game.
Facts. Facts. I mean, every single game preview we do, what do they need to do? They need to push the pace. And it's not just saying it like in a cliche, easy way. Like, you got to make your baskets. Like, no shit, right? But this team has a magic power. And the power is to be very fast. And when you're very fast and efficient with that type of pace, you can do some great things that other teams can't do and or keep up with. And that's, I just love that was their game plan. It felt like they stuck to their game plan. They kept the pedal to the metal, Deuce, all the way to the end of the game. I was talking with Mike Bibby when there's 8 minutes left in the fourth. And he's like, yeah, you know, like maybe 2 minutes and you can like start taking these guys out. And I'm like, I'm not ready yet. You know, I just always freak out. What I loved is that they didn't start slowing down. It wasn't De'Aaron like rolling the ball up.
We've seen a lot of with the Kings with a big lead. We've mentioned it so many times this year. Hey, they're clock watching again. And then all of a sudden it's a turnover. It's an issue. It's not like the Kings had a clean fourth quarter. They didn't make shit. I mean, I was looking at the final numbers. They were 1 of 12 from three in the fourth quarter. They scored just 18 points. But when you outscore them 35-19 in the third, you score 32 in the second, and then you hold them to 25 in the fourth. Oh, guess what? You get away with it and you could still win a game because they played the right way. And they won the possession game tonight. The Kings took 92 shots in this game. Mm-hmm. 92. The Clippers took 76.
They did everything. I mean, they out-rebounded them. They have the fast break points. They have the more points in the paint.
Oh, no. Let's talk about points in the paint.
You talk about it.
The Kings held the Clippers to 30 points in the paint. The Clippers were 15 of 41 in the paint. That is terrible. That is 36% in the paint. And that's something worth noting, too. I was looking at this, Morgan, since the actually through March.
Okay.
From March on, the Kings were 6 in the NBA in points in the paint. Okay?
Okay.
Allowed. That a really nice mark. Before March, they were 16th in the NBA. So they're just... What a difference it is when you've got perimeter pressure and you're not getting blown by all the time. It's
huge.
Made a big, big difference for the Sacramento Kings. And, you know, it's hard to move on from the losses you had against the Dallas Mavericks, but
rough.
You had to move on.
Yep.
Like, these games happened and you've got 7 games to go. I'm in play-in mode myself, but if you're a Kings player, you're going, look, we're playing some good basketball the last couple of games.
Anything
Why can't
happen?
We go on the road and take care of business? You know, if you look at the standings, there's 7 games to go. You're 1 game out of 5.
Which is just crazy.
And if you tied with the Mavericks, you got tied in the season series, so it goes to conference record. Well, as of tonight, they're tied in conference record, too.
Oh, my God.
So I think what happens is Luka and Fox.
Rochambeau.
Yes! Can you imagine? They're
okay,
like,
you're Luka, I'm Fox, so this would be it.
I don't want to beat you.
Let's try it. Okay, wait, just one.
Okay.
Rochambeau.
You won. Kings in.
Kings
there
in?
There you go. The tiebreaker, that easy.
Oh,
how cool
God,
would that be?
So good.
Imagine that in the NBA. It's like, well, how you break this tie tonight? Coming up at the half, in between games. Fox and Luka. Rock, paper, scissors. The winner gets the 5 seed. The loser is out. Or
he was late on the decision. I said paper at three. And there's just like officials all around it. There's all these different camera angles. Yes, 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 please.
That's how you break a goddamn tie. Clippers held under 100 points by the Kings. The Kings have done that 10 times this year. They did it four in the first 53 games of the season. They've done it six times in the last 22 games of the season. So
four times in March?
I think part of that has also been the rule changes a little bit too, right? Like,
wow.
They're allowed to be more physical. We talked about everything else. You know, the communication, the rotation's been great. Fox is bringing it. Everybody is. Keegan's been bringing it all season long. And now Keon Ellis, who wasn't much of a factor pretty much the entire season until March 1, has changed things for the Sacramento Kings. And they're winning games in different ways. Mike Brown was talking about that after the game. He's like, you don't win playoff games by scoring 125 points. And I mean, you can, but I think his point is last year they went to the playoffs as a team that wasn't a good defensive team, and they were awesome offensively. The number one offensive rating in the NBA's history last year. Well, come playoff time, the offense went away.
Well, they got shit taken because away. A team with experience of the postseason was able to use their defense to slow down a good offense.
Yep, and one area we were just talking about what they were doing with James Harden, right?
Mm-hmm.
How they made life more challenging. They stayed in front of him. They blitzed him. After the game, Ty Lue said that the Kings blitzing and not letting Harden get into his stuff.
Love. Love it. Making life difficult.
Let's. You want to hear some Mike Brown talking about how they handled the pick and roll situation? Sure. Here's what he had to say after this Kings win.
Defensive ones for you. What do you feel like worked well for you guys in pick and roll defense, specifically with James and also the Clippers, only 36% in the paint tonight? What do you think was working there?
We always say play physical, and I thought our guys did. I thought our bigs were really, really good at the point of the pick and roll. You know, reverse hard. They were at the touch, and they did a great job of mixing in some blitzes that were really aggressive. With high hands, and we put them on their heels. And, you know, when you get blitzed time after time after time, or the coverages are changing, it throws you off. Also, you know, we took away the pocket. James was really good at making that pocket pass. And then our weak side defense was fantastic. You know, our primary tag guy was great. So when that big cut, he couldn't just go and dunk it all the time. And then we rotated out the shooters. So I thought our guys were just on a string tonight. Starting with being really physical on the defense end of the floor. They were on a string, always in the right spot. When the ball moved, and everybody covered and or protected each other. And that was a beautiful watch. And same with the dribble drive. When the dribble drive happened or we broke down defensively, somebody stepped up and played big at the rim. We sunk and we filled on the backside, and then we just sprayed out, covered the three-point line as best as we could. They were, you know, shooting 54-55% from the three in the first half, and I think they were 6-for-11, and you know, they ended the game. That was at 5-for-16 the rest of the way. So I'd give our guys credit. They did a heck of a job in both those areas.
And he also said after the game, the thing I like about this is how you win this is how you win the playoffs. You don't win the playoffs averaging 125 points a game and thinking that's how you're going to win. That's fool's gold. A couple points he mentioned about the defense, mm-hmm. and I want to mention that weak side because how many times they got Zubats on the roll. I mean, again, the guy took 14 shots tonight. Zubats, he's not comfortable in these situations all the time, right? So even if you bring a guy over from the weak side to stunt or just get in position, he's not the most athletic guy, right?
Sure.
So he gets a little uncomfortable, and he's trying to figure out what he wants to do, and he's thinking. You want to make someone like Zubats think. James Harden can make a lot of passes out there, and he had a couple of nice ones, firing it to the corner, finding Norm Powell open for three. His vision, it's like, how are you making some of these passes? Well, Zubats is not totally comfortable, right?
Yeah.
Plumlee's a little more comfortable in those situations, but Zubats isn't, so Zubats is indecisive, and it changed everything, I thought, tonight. So, yeah, huge credit to the Kings.
Well, I thought the other thing Mike Brown was talking about was some of those blitzes and just, like, having the big bodies. These bigs were using their length. And by using your length, you're taking away the vision of some of these great passers on this team. A James Harden, for example. Yep. Like, just getting your hands up in the passing lane, he's going to make this, hopefully make a mistake of just trying to pass it through your arms. Boom, you get a deflection or you get a steal. But just taking away his vision alone, slowing down the offense, trying to make sure that they get into a situation where they're jacking up some bullshit shot. Kings were just doing a great job being active and disrupting.
The other thing that Mike Brown mentioned was, you know, blitzing Harden at times. The one blitz I loved, right? Fox was defending Harden. Len comes
That's
over.
That's it. That's
and
what I'm saying.
Got big on that pass, got the steal.
Yep.
And got it to Fox for the jam. And that was just, it was fantastic. It was great stuff from the Sacramento Kings and Alex Len. What an impact did that guy.
Different type of energy from, like, he looks bouncy a little bit. And I'm like, say what? What? We're feeling good. We're feeling healthy.
He played just under 12 minutes tonight. 4 points, 7 boards, 2 offensive rebounds. He had 3 blocks, some great contests. He had that steal I just mentioned.
Yep.
I thought he was fantastic in this game. And guess what, man? When he's playing that well, when he's not making mistakes and they're finding, I mean, they found him some nice looks underneath the basket. We mentioned that pass Fox had. He's out there making shit happen. Sabonis can chill on the bench a little longer. Sabonis plays 34 minutes in this game, and that's great. That's great that you feel comfortable enough in a game like this. You could have him out there and play him 12.
And not only comfortable, it was like he was truly impactful with those 12 minutes he was out there on the floor. I mean, he won defensive player of the game in the locker room after this win because he was a force, because of what he did on the defensive end. And then on the offensive end, there's so many times like where we've seen this year where he will get a rebound and it's like, why aren't you just going back up? He's always just looking for the next opportunity. He's not like a score first guy. But then it was De'Aaron Fox lobbing one to him, or De'Aaron Fox getting a nice pass just in between defenders to him wide open down low in the paint. And he was finishing these buckets. He was making sure that he was feeling confident too. And it was huge.
I think some of my favorite lineups out there tonight featured Sasha, Lyles, and Len. That group in the second quarter, I thought it was a lot of fun basketball because of what they were doing defensively. I thought Lyles and Sasha were flying around. I want to look at that group. Was it the second quarter that group really went off? It was 24-24 to start the second quarter. Sasha Lyles and Len were out there, and the league expanded to 9. Then it went to 41-28. It was that group was just a lot of fun. It was good.
It was. No, I think that's like the one of my biggest takeaways from this game is that I truly enjoyed watching this game all the way through, all the way until the last minute, you know, until the buzzer went off and the Kings had this type of victory where it's not like, oh, they just had a big lead and the Clippers sucked tonight and that's what it was. The Kings had a complete effort together, a complete team effort. And that alone, to me, against a good team in this league is exactly what you need to do. And I know we talk about the teams like the Wizards and all the other lost Pistons that they've had, some of these bad losses where they're not getting it done. But there's just something about these wins, especially late in the season, especially with the guys down, the adversity that they're facing, that it's giving me a lot of confidence in these last 7 games for them.
Yeah, another guy that we've talked about needing to step up is Keegan Murray. He's got to be more aggressive. He did that tonight.
Again.
And he ends up not with the most efficient of nights, 8 of 18, 2 of 7 from 3. But, like,
18 shots.
No, I don't care. Yep. 18 shots.
Good job.
Get to your 18. He had 19 points. He had 5 rebounds. He had 2 assists in this game tonight and had some fantastic plays, I thought, on the offensive side of the ball. And, you know, the Kings now, because of these injuries, they're trying some different things. And one thing, especially now that Sasha and Trey are back, we're seeing Mike Brown play him at the 2. We're seeing more Keegan at the 2. And so you're playing some bigger lineups. A team that at times is playing 3-4 guards. Now you're in a situation where you're seeing lineups with Mitchell, Keegan, Sasha, Lyles, Len. That was a fun group out there for a minute. We're seeing lineups where it's Fox, Keegan, Harrison, Lyles, and Sabonis, and you need more size out there. I can't tell you how many times, and it, you know, happened a couple times in this game when they were a little smaller, where like Sabonis is pulled out to help and you just can't get a rebound, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't have enough size. Having those guys back in the fold and having more size out there goes such a long way. And you're not getting killed defensively because of the communication and because Keegan is also a really good defender.
Yeah, it's fun to see some of these lineups and to see them play some of these bigger guys. And then obviously the type of game that is played when these bigger guys are out there. But how great is it, too, when you're just not going, okay, this is going to take a huge dip on the offensive end or a huge dip on the defensive end. I feel like guys are really starting to step up. Again, small sample size, two games, one against a losing team, one against a better team in the Western Conference, in the Clippers. But, like, to me, when there's seven games left and this is the type of play you're seeing even in these last two, it feels like it can be carried on toward the rest of this season. And these guys are really understanding, like, okay, if we don't step up, do we want to regret not leaving it all out there? Do we want to regret not listening to our coach when he's saying, like, shoot the effing shot or take it to the rack? Like, do what you need to do, yep. But be a basketball player out there. Like, you are not a placeholder. You are not playing with LeBron James and you have to just, like, be ready to catch and shoot. No, you got to be one of the guys creating.
Put the ball on the floor, hit some mid-range shots, hit some turnaround jumpers. And Keegan, the last couple of games, is doing that. It's like, no, you're scoring at all three levels now. You have to do that. One of my favorite plays from him tonight was he got in the corner, put the ball on the floor. Zubats came over on help, so there was two guys there, and he made the patient play and dished it to Sabonis for the easy score. And seeing him do those type of things, that's what excites me, is the potential for him as a playmaker, as a passer. It's like, we knew last year you could shoot threes. Yep. You shot a lot of them, you shot them well. This year, we've seen the flashes of you putting on the floor and scoring at all three levels. It's been a little inconsistent at times, but now last couple of games we're seeing that. We're seeing him pass the ball. I love what I saw.
A playmaker and a passer, but you also were talking about this play early on. You had texted me about him. You're like, oh, I love the way that he like hesitated on Paul George.
Thank you.
Just off that DHO from Sabonis, and he was going to come back and grab it, and he stepped back and kind of faked Paul George like he was going to go back and just get the ball from the outside, and then just explosive cuts forward toward the basket. Sabonis sees that shit right away before it even happens, leads him with the pass. He gets an easy two.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. That was great.
And that's the thing. Like last year, they're not doing that. The Warriors in the playoffs took away the dribble handoffs, and it was like the Kings were like, what do we do? We were only programmed to dribble handoff and shoot. Oh, how do we recover? And it's like, yeah, okay. So Paul George is going to be fronting him, and he did that a lot tonight. I thought Keegan still was trying to be aggressive. He wasn't going to let Paul George, a good defender, punk him. Why? Because you're young in this league. You got size. You're strong, too. So go at this guy a little bit. And it came off one dribble handoff. All right, got it back to Sabonis. Okay, that play you described was perfect. Juke him out a little bit.
And Paul George was just, like we said, was just on the high side.
He left him.
Just denying and was on him tight. But you're exactly, Keegan got one step on him on the cut. And Sabonis was like, oh, yes, please, honey.
In the chat, Pullover saying, talk about the one dime that Keegan had baseline to Sabonis. We just talked about just before this play. We're talking about a lot of Keegan plays. Then he had one play where he tried to force it to Sabonis, and Paul George read it brilliantly, right? It was a steal by George. Gets it ahead to Norm Powell, who's open from three, and you're like, oh, no, Norm Powell. He's already hit some open threes tonight. Keon closes out on him pretty hard, and Powell, like, leaves his feet. I don't know. I thought Powell should have shot. I think he still had room to shoot it. Whatever, the good closeout made Powell think, make a mistake.
Yep.
He threw it in the backcourt. Sabonis gets it.
Oh, yeah.
They're on the break. And Keegan, I'm like, what's he going to do here? Zubats and Westbrook are right there. Zubats made the ultimate business decision. He wasn't going to try to block that shit. But Keegan went hard and dunked it home. And I jumped out. I literally was like,
I asked Mike Bibby, I was like, you know, he's starting to throw it down, like angry dunks, all those things. He goes, yeah, it's going to keep happening where guys are going to start being like, I don't want to get in the way of that. Like, he's got to keep that reputation going where guys go, oh, hell no. Like, he's a big body. He's throwing it down aggressively. Like, I don't want to be any part of that. He goes, that's what you just got to keep doing to have that sort of identity.
I think it was G-Man. I could be mixing it up. I think G-Man said this, but he was mentioning how, like, man, who was this saying this? Where did I hear this interview?
This is a lie.
I don't know. I'm mixing it up. Someone said this.
This is like something
this
I
is
would
a great
do.
Story, Deuce. Someone said this, that Keegan has this in him. Like, he has
somebody. It was Deuce Mason talking to himself. I know Keegan has this. You and I were talking.
You know what? Sometimes, you know, the basketball mind just gets jumbled. Do you know how many stats I've mentioned from the top of my head tonight? Like Rain Man over here?
Yeah, no, we know.
So like, I messed up one thing.
Nobody cares. Like, you're the one that usually brings me down when I forget shit. Like, right, I'm not bringing you down. I'm supporting your story.
Well, Keegan was obviously really good in this game tonight, and it's good to see him be aggressive. Keep doing this, Keegan. Keep doing this. Kings hit the road after that. We still have to talk about that. We even talked about Domantas Sabonis tonight. We briefly touched on him.
Like 2020, it was so cute.
We should not just push aside the fact that this guy had his third 2020 game of the season. But it was 22 points, 20 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals in this game. He had 7 offensive rebounds. Jeez. The guy was a monster. He was 8 of 17. He took 3 threes in this game, which is a little surprising. 0 for 3. You could tell, look, Zubats does his best with Sabonis. I mean, he makes him work. Battles. He challenged him well. Zubats is a really tough guy. And I think he can match Sabonis with the strength. But Sabonis is relentless. And that's my favorite thing about him is, like, this guy is going to keep coming at you. He's constant effort. He's going to try to get offensive rebounds. He always fights. He's probably one of the most annoying guys in the league to play against. And I think that's partly why some people in the league don't like him, because he's annoying.
Yeah.
You ever play pickup ball with someone that's just trying so hard? That's me out there. I'm the Sabonis of pickup game. I am relentless. That's what Sabonis was tonight, Morgan Reagan.
The way that you talk about yourself is so disgusting. But, he's flex. Okay, very weird. No, you're exactly right. He plays tough every single night. Like, even when he's not having his best game and he's trying to get the call or whatever it is, he's still playing tough. But it's not as much under control. Tonight, it felt much more under control. Now, that first half, he finished the first half with only 3 shot attempts.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just not pretty. It was not aggressive enough. It was, what are you doing? Then he continued to be aggressive in that second half. 8 of 17, like you mentioned. 6 of 10 at the free throw line, like you mentioned. But the 20 rebounds and the 22 points, it's not even the points. I'm just really looking at those rebounds and the way that he battles his timing, his understanding of where to put himself on the floor at times, and just never gives up. And you look at a game like this and having to play 35 minutes, I'm just so happy that he got even the 12 minutes off that Alex Len got. So then he was able to just kind of be like, okay, I don't have to battle all the way through. I don't have to get another bloody face, a bloody nose in this game. Just a great performance from Domas Sabonis, especially the way he finished off that second half.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was really good. 22 points, 20 rebounds, 9 assists for Sabonis. Insane. Fox, 20 points, 7 assists. He was 6 of 20, 1 of 7 from 3, but 7 of 7 at the free throw line. I read those stats, and I'm like, you know, sometimes the box score lies to you. You go, 6 of 20, had a bad game. I think he missed some shots tonight. You know, I think both of us are kind of like the 7 threes is a lot when you're missing them, but
but also against this Clippers team that has a bad 3-point defense, obviously,
since the All-Star break, they're allowing teams to shoot 40.8% from three.
That
They're now 11-11 since the All-Star break. They're 28th in defensive rating since the All-Star break, allowing the third most threes in the league during that span.
You're going to get those open looks, and I was hoping for is that the entire Kings team was not going to rely on those open looks and be like, let's keep shooting even if we're missing. And then we hear Mike Brown in the postgame go, you know what? Those are shots I want my guys to take. You know, they're wide open. It's like, no, do not play into what the Clippers want you to do, right? Especially if you started missing those shots. You got to make sure to remain aggressive and keep attacking. And I felt like he still was being aggressive and attacking, trying to get in the mid-range, even though he did attempt the 7 threes.
And he was still trying to get in the paint and make things happen for his teammates. Threw some great passes. Defensively, he was great, too. I loved how he played. So it's weird on a night where he goes 6 for 20. I think that's the one evolution of Fox's game where, you know, in the past, he goes 6 for 20. You're like, God, man, like, what do you do out there? I think more often when he has some of these off nights from the field, he's still doing other things.
So many other
things. And that's been the biggest difference with his game this year. I mean, it's not just the steals where he's near the top of the NBA. He's near the top of the NBA in deflections. He plays with more physicality defensively. I really like how he's been playing this year.
Such a force on the defensive end. I mean, sometimes I think we don't mention him because now we just expect it from him to be great on the defensive end. The way that he gets up and guys slides, moves laterally with guys, a block, a steal, the deflections that we already talked about. But then, yeah, offensively being, and I keep using this word with a lot of guys, like be a threat, but De'Aaron is such a threat, such a force that you have to pay so much attention to him. And I felt like at times there was lapses from this Clippers defense that allowed him to be like, oh, great, I can just use this one more power move, or I can just be a little bit more explosive, get this first step and go. And he would do that. You know, he didn't just shy away from that. I love to see what we saw from him.
Morgan Reagan.
Yeah.
It's late.
Yeah, it is.
We started a stream and messed up. We started another stream, messed up. People are here watching us live, nearly 600 live strong. If you have not yet, hit the thumbs up. And also, let's give you a hell yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Oh,
that was fun.
There's some super chats, too, that I want to make sure to get to.
Yeah, let's get to a couple of super chats first, okay? And some more of the comments. Oleg, appreciate you as always donating, saying,
thank you.
Great win tonight. We need the same bench approach on the road trip coming up. Yes, the approach from this team has to stay the same. Get the ball popping, defend. You're going to give yourself a chance. Silly Sill donating $20. Oh, stop it.
Thank you.
What a win. Was at the game with the fam, and what impressed me was the focus and intensity of the entire team. The team looks locked in for these remaining games, and I'm excited to see how they do on this road trip.
Yeah.
Yes, road trip's tough. You got New York, Boston, Brooklyn, and OKC.
7 games left, 4 of them on the road. Ooh, so, ooh. Yep.
We'll talk more about that trip, too. Oscar says, Kings win plus WrestleMania weekend. Deuce and Mo equals exciting week.
Oh, are we? What is this?
I can't wait for the final boss.
Acknowledge me.
Mama Rhodes! Your son's not going to finish the story. The final boss is there. The tribal chief. Acknowledge him. Do you want Cody to finish the story?
I don't give two shits, honestly.
Ooh, about who, Cody?
I hate Cody Rhodes. Oh. Why is that a big deal?
Morgan's got heel.
Like, no.
I thought you were a Cody crybaby. I thought you were a Cody crybaby.
When you have a tattoo that ugly, hell no. Next.
That is so funny. Thank you, Oscar. Shout out to Christopher Walker for being a member again. Ashir donated $5 saying, player of the game was the whole bench for me.
Aww.
Yeah, the whole team played wonderfully. Would you say the Kings played complete basketball tonight? Yes, I would. This was an absolute complete game, I think, from the Kings. I mean, they haven't had a ton of them this year, but on a night where you don't knock down shots and you play this well, that's a great thing. You know, he gave the player of the game. That's cool. But who is a rock and soul player of the game tonight?
Ooh, okay.
You said that it's the bench.
I'm going to go with Trey Lyles.
The bench gets it, baby. That's a good one. Great call. Shout out to the chat. The bench is the rock and soul player of the game. The bench. Lyles, 15 points, 5 assists, and 4 boards. Davion Mitchell, he was not off tonight. He was on. tonight.
That was so fun.
14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists. Alex Lensanity is here. 4.7 rebounds, 3 blocks, and a steal. The bench was awesome. 39 points from the Kings bench in this one.
Make sure to head to Rock and Soul Diner, but especially head to Rock and Soul Diner after the game on Friday the 12th, okay? So you're going to get 50% off your entire bill.
Damn.
Raffle for fun prizes.
What?
Grand prize is the original painting that I was talking about of Domas and De'Aaron.
What?
And then also featuring a DJ at the diner starting at 10 p.m. So make sure you are heading over to Rock and Soul Diner after the Kings game. It's going to be a huge party with lots of different prizes and discounts and everything.
That's
why are you counting?
I was 6 blocks away from Gold One Center, right?
Yeah. Give me a hell yeah.
Oh, my God. So dumb. Ooh,
yeah, there's a lot of good ones tonight. You know, one guy we didn't spend enough time talking about, and shout out to PK, who says, Ellis was my guy tonight. Was that PK from Real Housewives?
Dorit. I can't do my...
That's an awful PK. And Dorit. Only 3 people got that reference. Keon Darling. Ellis, you're right. We have not talked about Keon tonight. Keon is playing aggressive. He was in some foul trouble tonight. But, dude, when he is out there, he's one of those guys that is always doing the right thing. And I love his intensity defensively. One of the more exciting things about him tonight, the guy plays 21 minutes. He had 7 rebounds.
Damn.
7 rebounds.
Damn. Just in there. I mean, sometimes it felt like with some of his rebounds, it wasn't just like, oh man, he was battling. It was like his timing.
Yep.
His understanding of when to fly in there and when to get his body and angled in the right way.
I just remember this too. What? And I only had 1 assist. There were Davion probably could have had more assists too. Sabonis blew a layup. Not a nice pass. My point to that is I think both Davion and Keon are getting more comfortable playmaking. I felt like that tonight. I felt like, oh, they're doing a good job moving the ball too. I think Keon at times, you know, just from reps, he's getting used to playing with these guys. I think so much.
Yes.
We talk so much about what he's been able to do defensively. I think offensively, it's taken him a second to get comfortable playing. He doesn't have the reps with this group, and now you're starting to see, oh, they've got some games together. They've got some minutes in big games with each other. They're learning. It's beautiful.
It's how you build chemistry. It's how you, you have to experience it. You have to have the actual NBA minutes together, and yeah, they're starting to stack up a little bit more.
He's one of my favorite Kings right now. Actually, you know what? They're all my faves right now. When they play like this, I love them all. Ishmael in the chest says that non-and-one was crazy that he should have had. The one that Morgan thinks he should have had.
Scott
Foster said no non-and-one. And I agree with Mr. Foster, who is, by the way, gets a lot of crap, but is graded as the best official in the National Basketball Association.
And he really is. He really is one of the best officials in the National Basketball
Association. You know, if you are laughing at that, going, okay.
No, Morgan. But it's the truth. Yeah. If you really look at the way that he officiates, if you take away all the other weird CP3 bullshit. But like that specific play, I'm so with you because I go, then the next play down for Paul George, he's shooting a jumper. Alex Len fouls him before he's shooting the jumper, continuation and one. And I'm like, it was the same motion, in my opinion, with Keon Ellis. It's just continuation at that point. Even if you're like, oh, he fouled him here, but it's like within a split second continuation. So agreed.
Morgan, we haven't done this often.
What?
But we actually have someone in our Discord calls because I dropped the Discord link hoping Coach Nick was in there. I do want to check in with one person. I know this is a gamble here because sometimes people aren't ready. It's their first time. Can we try to go to Mango?
Try it.
I like Mango. Try I like some it. Dried Mango. Is Mango in the building?
Hey, how you doing? Hello.
Whoa.
Mango
hey,
is
Mango.
Ready. He's got a mic.
Absolutely. I'm ready, guys. Great game tonight. Yep. Appreciate the show. Excellent. I just want to say, man, what a job from the bench without Monk. I mean, can you believe it? Like, without the captain of the bench here, they're really stepping up. It's incredible. But I'm curious to ask you guys, how worried are you about the Pelicans? Someone did bring up that in the chat. The Pelicans are definitely going to decide the fate of the play-ins. They're going to be playing Phoenix, Sacramento, Golden State, the Lakers. I mean, they're a thorn in our side. I was at game 3. It was horrifying, but I stuck it to the end. I'm really curious what you guys think about
you know what?
The big thing, you know, looming over everyone said that you're not talking about.
I
the Pelicans, man.
I can't wait till April 11th. I can't wait for those Pelicans to come back to town because last time I checked, Mango.
What?
They haven't played this version of the Kings.
Oh.
You mean the Kings who couldn't defend anybody earlier in the season?
Yeah.
The Kings now that are playing better defense since the All-Star break, since the month of March?
Slow it down, kid. Can we be honest, though? all the games that we've seen against the Pelicans, it's not like, oh, man, just their defense sucked. Everything sucked.
Look.
Everything sucked.
The Pelicans are an interesting team.
We're super aware of that.
And they have destroyed the Kings. Their toughness, their length. Zion has been a huge problem with the Sacramento Kings. He destroyed them in every way. But I'd be curious to see what the Kings do differently against him. You know, the key to me, it sounds like Ingram could be back later next week, which would be good for them. You know, he's been out. That's changed things.
McCollum was scary at the arch. You know, it's just.
Yeah, dude, I know. They're a tough team, but I want that challenge again. I want to see it. And you're right. It's scary for sure. They've had the Kings number. There's zero doubt about it. You know.
I just think maybe it's a defense thing because it seems like every team shoots better threes at the Golden One, you know, and it's just such a weird kind of thing, even though our defense has been, you know, top notch. And of course, last season, I think that we snuck up on a lot of teams because obviously who expects the Kings to come out of nowhere and end up in the third seed? But I feel like I was talking to G-Man and Jerry last night, actually, at the Tap House because they had a
special event there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they were saying, look, we're not sneaking up on anybody this season, man. Like, people are aware of what the Kings can and cannot do, you know, and we're going to have to rely on digging deep and developing the rest of the talent because if it's just Fox and Sabonis, everyone's got that in the back of their head. Like, look, shut down Sabonis. Fox can't shoot. Kings fall apart. So it all depends on what we're doing as a unit, you know. So hopefully we have development there and better defense. And from there, I guess we can figure it out. But I mean, it's a team effort, man. And I'm just nervous because them Pelicans,
they're tough.
You know,
they're tough. I want to look to the Kings since the All-Star break, their opponent 3-point percentage. Okay. That's still not good. Okay. 37.9%. Still not that good. Okay. In March, opponent in March where they were. Let's see. 37. Still not great.
Yep, okay. Not good.
It's just kind of a trend, right?
Yeah.
3% against us at Golden One are just kind of tough.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, Mango, I appreciate you checking in for the first time, man.
I appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah. Like that beam tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Look up outside. You got about 3 minutes till it's turned off, so get your pictures now.
Good point.
And thanks for having me on, guys. I'll catch you guys next time.
Thanks, Mango.
Appreciate that. Yeah. Out of all those teams, Morgan, that we talk about, mm-hmm. you know, being nervous about, where do the Pelicans rank up there? Are you nervous about them?
Always, yes. 100%.
The Zion issue is a thing.
What do you mean? It's not, and it's not just Zion. It's a big enough sample size. How many games has it been against him? Four?
Four. Yeah. It's been destruction, right?
It's like
Keegan missed a couple of those games, if I'm not mistaken, too.
Okay.
So that's one thing to think about. I think Coach Nick was popping in. We'll get to him in a second. Yes, for sure. I think the problem, honestly, is they just have so much length and size that they could throw at Fox, and it makes life so hard for them.
But now it's not just about relying on De'Aaron Fox and about what he's been able to do. And also, we talked about this a little bit, or maybe they talked about this at practice, Fox playing even more off ball than he has been even in the beginning of the season because he wants to be included in the possession, right? Like, it doesn't need to start with him and then he has to give up the ball quick because they're throwing a double on him right away. Start the ball with Davion Mitchell, allow some action with De'Aaron Fox off the ball so then the team can create something else for him.
Do you want to check in with your old buddy?
Check in.
Is this Coach Nick?
Why not win tonight? Why not win tonight?
Why not, Coach Nick?
So good to hear from you.
So I got picked. I am the Hall of Fame for Special Olympics for basketball, and I'm gonna go in the kitchen. I got something to show you guys, and you gotta.
If it's a trophy, it should be in your bed.
I can't. Yeah, why is it in the kitchen?
Let's see. All right.
Are you a little nervous right now, Morgan?
Yeah.
Whoa, here we go. 2024 DAS Hall of Fame, Nicholas Bryant, for your years of participation in year-round sports and your relentless dedication and teamwork have led our teams to many victories. Keep shining. Everybody in the chat, let's give it up to our Hall of Famer, the one and only Coach Nick. Yay! Everybody in the chat, let's give him a hell yeah.
Give me a hell yeah.
Why not be Hall of Fame?
Why not be a Hall of Famer? Oh, my goodness. Nick, this is such an accomplishment.
Nick, when are you going to a Kings game next?
I don't know when. I don't have any tickets.
All right, we'll figure that out. One, next time you're at a game, pizza's on me.
What? Whoa!
Why not buy Nick a piece of pizza?
Well, he's a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Famer, and we should...
And he's showing his trophies now.
Oh, my goodness. Nick, congratulations.
Dude, I'm so happy. For you, man.
You're proud of me, Morgan.
And Deuce. Deuce is proud, too.
We are both so proud of you.
I'm proud, too.
I'm so good at Special Olympics.
You are so good. Yes. You are so... I mean, you're a Hall of Famer. How many people get to say that they're a Hall of Famer?
Why not be Hall of Fame?
Why not be a Hall of Famer? We are so proud of you. And we're just...
Acknowledge him. Our tribal chief. Our Hall of Famer, Nick Bryant.
I'm famous.
And he's famous. You're great at everything. We are so happy for you. And guess what? How fun is it to see a beam tonight, too, on a night that you are now a Hall of Famer and that you got a trophy? Isn't it so fun?
Yes.
Well, Nick, great catching up with you. We are proud of you, and hopefully we see you soon, okay?
Yes.
Sleep beams?
Sleep beams.
Yes. Give it up to our Hall of Famer. Nick, give us a big smile. Our Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Yes. Nick. Appreciate you, Nick.
All right. See you later.
Sleep beams.
Bye.
Bye.
Sleep beams.
Sleep beams.
I think he was like having a moment where he's like, yeah, I am a Hall of Famer.
He was soaking that in.
He was like, wait a minute. This is really cool. And I'm so happy.
So happy. Hey, Lil Migs, are you there?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Hey.
How are you, man? How are you going to follow up after Coach Nick?
Honestly, I frankly can't. You know, I'm not a Hall of Famer. Yeah. He is.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, I can't compete. I can't.
It's okay. Maybe you have a good take. What you want to talk about?
So something that's been bothering me for the past few games is the lack of Kessler Edwards. I've been rooting for Kessler Edwards since he got to Sacramento, and it seems like he has good games, and then we don't see him for weeks. I mean, like today, he got like 2 minutes. Last game, was the last game or 2 games ago, he got like scored 3 threes.
It was against Dallas. He had those 3 threes, played some nice defense on Luka. He got the first look against Utah in that first half, and they elected to go with Sasha the rest of the way. I hear you. It's kind of a balance. So, like, I think it's like, are you playing Kessler, Edwards, Morgan, or are you playing Sasha? They both give you something different depending on the matchup. One, you know, Kessler Edwards has the length, has the size. He's comfortable defending. And when he's knocking down the three, you go, oh, you could see something, how he could be very impactful. I think Sasha gives you a little more of someone who's a good passer, cutter. He could still shoot it. It's just a different type of look.
Yeah, it's just a different type of game. And I get what you're saying, too. You know, when you see someone with a positive opportunity, why don't they get to grow or build off that? But I think that's also something that we had seen all season long. If Mike Brown was ever looking for answers and someone would respond and have a positive impact on the game, it still didn't translate into like, oh, they're going to be seeing some more minutes now. Now, I'd say the only person that's changed for would be Keon Ellis, but it took an entire body going down for him to really, I guess, achieve this opportunity, right? So now with Kessler Edwards, I say, look, at least he's still there as depth on the roster if Mike Brown does need to turn to him, but it does suck because it's hard if you don't get a lot of minutes to still try and provide.
Yeah, no, I mean, I mean, it's worked the past couple seasons so far, how Mike Brown's organized the roster. I get that. I just personally, I feel like it doesn't really allow any room for growth.
It's tough though. You can only play so many guys. Who are you sitting? You know what I mean? Like who are you taking out if you're playing Kessler Edwards?
personally, this is a hot take. I'm not saying take him out. I'm saying play him less.
He's like De'Aaron Fox.
Harrison Barnes.
Oh.
I mean, okay, but Harrison Barnes tonight, Yomi Mensi played?
He played over 20, I believe.
He played 24 minutes. And so he's not playing as many minutes. Trey Lyles played more. So that's the question. You know, I don't know. It's tough. So I think they'd like to play Harrison fewer minutes too, I think, to conserve him. He's been a really efficient three-point shooter. We know the challenges he has defensively at times, but, you know, he's helped them a lot too. And that shooting goes a long way. He had a couple big threes in this game tonight. But I appreciate you checking in, man.
Hey, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
There you go. Appreciate that. Nice to get a couple of calls in. It's funny. I ran into a podcast listener yesterday. He goes, I love the podcast. He goes, hey, you guys stop taking like calls on the show. I'm like, oh, we just kind of shy away from it throughout the season. It's just, you can be inconsistent. Technical things happen, blah, 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 blah. He goes, oh man, I miss Coach Nick. And I was like, you know what's crazy? Anytime we have callers on the podcast live, the live numbers just drop.
Yeah.
And so I always like, it's always kind of like this, like, I don't know, like, do people like it or do they not
it's
like
always
it?
Just
I think
to
some
get a
people
pulse.
Like it, some people don't. And you know what? Tonight, they dropped again.
But I mean, that's.
I don't care. I'm just saying, it's just interesting to see what people like and don't like.
Well, they're about to come back up really quick about what we're going
to
do.
Yes, we got a game to play too. We do need to mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends for Northwest Exteriors. Morgan, why should people use Northwest Exteriors if they're looking for new windows?
Well, they are simply the best because they can make your house look better. They can save you a lot of money. They have noise-canceling windows. They have windows with UV protection, especially if you're someone with some nice furniture and or you want to protect your skin even a little bit more. It's actually helped my eyeballs in my home because I have light walls. So make sure to check out Northwest Exteriors. Get a free quote today.
Yeah, just go to their website, trustnorthwest.com. Save money on your energy bill, too. We appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast because, Morgan, they are...
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Morgan Reagan.
Yeah.
What's the moment of the game presented by Sharif Jewelers?
Oh, my God. There's so many. But, I mean, should it be an Alex Len block? Should it be the Alex Len steal and that... you know, you push it up to De'Aaron Fox. There was a lot of good defensive moments that I would like one of those to be the moment.
I like that too. Can we give a mention to Keegan Murray in that dunk yet?
Yes.
Those two and the bench play.
I love it. So those are going to be our Sharif Jewelers moments of the game.
Yeah, we also appreciate Sharif Jewelers. They're a big supporter of the podcast. Amazing. They're local, so if you need jewelry, you need jewelry repair, there's no better place to go. They're huge Kings fans. The defensive player of the game, Crown, they made that. It's dope. So check out Sharif Jewelers. Morgan, coming up for the Kings, they hit the road.
Yes.
Here we go. Final road trip of the season.
Yep.
Four games.
Crazy.
It starts coming up on Thursday against the Knicks. That game's 4:30 p.m. Pacific time on TNT. That's an exclusive on TNT that night. And then they play the next night in Boston against the Celtics before going to Brooklyn in Oklahoma City. So buckle up. It's going to be a tough one. We should also mention those nights, both Thursday and Friday, we'll have late night chats. Even those are early games, late night chats, because on Thursday, the Stockton Kings are playing a playoff game that night.
Yeah,
we'll be on
are.
The call for that. That's going to be against the Santa Cruz Warriors, 7 o'clock. So we'll be on late night for that game. First up, the Knicks.
So we remember what the last matchup looked like, and it was very, very physical. It was a really fun game. The Kings lost, but they played a very competitive game. And it's not a moral victory. It's just the style that I needed to see from this team. Like, what were they going to look like when a team wanted to punk them, wanted to be the team out there that was the more physical squad? Well, the Kings punch right back. And that's exactly now what you're going to need to see on the road at Madison Square Garden.
Jalen Brunson cooked the Kings.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it was a special performance by him. But it was one of those games that we came on after, like, dude, they matched the physicality. Mm-hmm. They played hard. They didn't execute well down the stretch. What's that look like at Madison Square Garden against a Knicks team that now has lost three in a row?
Yep.
OG Anunoby has not played since being in Sacramento on March 16th.
Yes.
Josh Hart just the other day was saying, doesn't really expect to see Julius Randle or OG Anunoby coming back anytime soon.
Crazy.
So this team is undermanned. Mitchell Robinson's been back, but you know they're undermanned, but they play tough. We know this. I'm interested to see what this is going to be like at MSG because the Knicks have been really good this year with OG.
Yeah.
A little up and down when he's not there.
Yeah. Like even I think in their last loss against the Miami Heat, it was a pretty close game. Dante DiVincenzo was the one dropping 30, right? And then it was Jalen Brunson with a 20 and 10 game. But like we said, missing some of those other pieces, it's still big for them. Now, if you're the Sacramento Kings, you just have to look at this game as what do we do best? That's what we need to do. That means you are pushing the ball. That means that you're matching the tone and the physicality on the home floor for the New York Knicks. And I think they're capable of doing all this, but it doesn't mean that's, oh my God. And this, that it was both teams were held under 100.
98, it was 98-91 Knicks in that game. Brunson had 42 points on 17 of 28 shooting in that game. The Kings shot just 35%, and they still had a chance to win. Fox went 5 of 19 in that game. Keegan was just 3 of 12. Sabonis had 21 and 14 in that. And the bench, all they got was really just from Malik Monk. Kessler Edwards played, Len Mitchell, and Duarte. All those guys I just mentioned did not score. Keon Ellis played 29 minutes off the bench in that game. Kevin Herter was still around. He played 16 minutes in that game. So, yeah, it's obviously a different Kings team, and I'm excited to see what the challenge looks like. This is a tough trip, but I'm looking at this four-game trip like, can you get two? Can you get two?
Sure.
Brooklyn, you just have, like, that's the game. They're not a good team.
Yep.
They're struggling. You have to win that game. Like, that's the must win on this trip.
Okay.
And I know they're all important. It's like, you got to get them all, but I'm just being realistic. Can you get one? Can you get the Knicks, and can you get the Nets? After that, if you get anything else, to me, that's a huge W as you come back home for a gauntlet of the Pelicans, the Suns. It's not really a gauntlet. The last one's the Blazers, but two tough games after that.
It's still, like, yeah, it's... I don't know.
Your final seven includes the Knicks, the Celtics, OKC, Pelicans, and Suns.
You got to play like you were these last two games. And it's the number one thing that I keep talking about. You don't want to feel any regret. And that, to me, is like even Trey Lyles just itching these last 2 weeks like he talked about in his post-game presser, just like itching. Watching this team the past 2 weeks, just wanting to be back out there. Like that feeling alone, you don't want to be itching for the start of the new season because you didn't do something that you know you could have done differently this season.
Well, I'm itching for the return of a game that's sweeping the nation with a new host tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, for the first time, let's welcome Morgan Reagan as a host of Ball is Live!
Thank you, Deuce Mason, and thank you, everybody. I'm your host, Morgan Reagan, and that is right. This is another episode of Ball is Life. Now, Deuce, I only have two categories for you.
Okay.
Two categories. They are basketball birthdays.
I love me some basketball birthdays.
And then the other category is fill in the stat sheet. But oh, what is that you say? Oh, yes. Fill in the stat sheet is presented by Will Z Stats. For all the stats you need, make sure to support his work on Twitter and on Threads. Yes, it's because I'm not very good at filling in the stat sheet and finding all these stats, so I hired a professional.
Of course, I can get help from the chat still.
Yes, you can.
I need to establish a couple of ground rules, too. Basketball birthdays, if I'm within two, that counts?
Sure.
Thank you.
I will count that.
I'm ready. I want to start tonight with... fill in the stat sheet.
It's a great choice right there. So fill in the stat sheet presented by Will Z Stats.
Yeah.
The first question. The Kings and Clippers have been in their respective cities since 1985-86, Sacramento Kings, and 84-85, the Clippers.
Yeah.
During that time frame, how many times have both teams made the playoffs? For two possible bonus points, what seasons were they?
So since 1985...
Because
the Kings made it in 1980.
Well, no, because the Kings have been in Sacramento since 85-86 season, and the Clippers have been in LA since 84-85 season. So during that time frame, how many times have both these teams made the playoffs at the same time?
I don't know why I'm not believing the Clippers. They really moved there in 1984. Okay. So since 1984.
Wow, Will Z, he doesn't believe you.
Of course, they were in San Diego before that. Also, Buffalo Braves before that. But anyway, we had enough about the history lesson from the basketball mind.
Nobody
but since
needs
1984-85, how many times have the Kings and Clippers combined made the playoffs? Well, the Clippers had a crazy drought. You know, they had a drought that was before the Kings broke it, the longest playoff drought in a long time, where they missed like 15 consecutive.
Now, you know, it's not combined how many playoffs they made. It's both teams made the playoffs in these same years.
Same years. Okay, I wasn't catching that
there
one.
There we go.
This host isn't very good.
This guest is not very, my head. Yeah, no, you're okay.
Wow. Okay. How many times did they both make it?
Whew. And for bonus points, you can tell me what seasons.
Well, the 90s were just not kind at all. We're going to go early 2000s for sure. Man, this is a really good one.
Yeah, it is. And you don't have to tell me the years. You can always guess a number.
You.
Oh, just being a good host.
Yeah.
You dick. Oh, and you got some help from the chat if you would like
Thanks,
to use
I need
them.
Some help with the chat.
Yeah, you do.
Two, three-ish, two, okay. Yeah, my gut is saying one of the times was, I'm going to go for a bonus here. I'm going to, well, can I chip away at this or no?
No. What kind of game do you think this is? Give me a number, and then for bonus points, you tell me the seasons.
I'm going to say twice. And I think they're both in the early 2000s.
Final answer.
Yeah.
Twice is correct.
Yes!
Okay. Do you want to try and guess the years now?
You know, I just don't have a good feel for this right
okay.
now in the years, you know, because it's just like there's so I'm like Darius Miles Richardson. No, they had Lamar Odom for a second, like that team. If I were to guess one, I'd say maybe like, God, I don't even know, 2000. No. Okay.
No.
Go ahead. Tell me.
2022-23 season.
Oh my God! I don't know why I was
blanking. I know
that's so stupid of me. Last year, why? I don't know why I didn't think of this.
05-06.
05-06. Wow. Okay, that was. Can I just say, me overthinking last year is insane.
Yep. I love it. I love it. Well done.
I'm so mad at myself.
Well
right
done
now.
To me and my team.
05-06. Wow. Let's see. Who's on that 05-06 team?
Oh, and here Deuce is going down a rabbit hole, baby.
Give me some. The next category is going to be basketball birthdays.
Would you like a basketball birthday?
Yeah, and I just also I don't even want to give myself credit for that last one. I was not good on that.
Well, you got the two right, so sure. You get that answer right.
But I literally missed last year. That was bad.
Okay. Well.
The 2005-06 Clippers won 47 games. Wow. Was that after they signed Katino Mobley? Sam Cassell, Elton Brand came in. Yeah, Katino Mobley was on that team. Good knowledge, Deuce. All right. Basketball birthday today. Within two. Let's go.
Okay. So not too many, but we're going to go with this one. Yeah. You're going to get Hollis Thompson. How old is he? Tomorrow, April 3rd, is his birthday. Happy
Hollis
Thompson.
Playing the Sixers. Also,
good
spent
job.
A stint with the Stockton Kings. Morgan
oh my
probably
God.
Doesn't even remember that
good
part
job.
Of it.
Good job.
Morgan called some of his games. Hollis Thompson, you know what? Happy 34th birthday to Hollis Thompson. No?
Hollis Thompson, but, oh, within two. 32. Yeah, we'll give it to you. He's turning 32.
Hollis, how many people in the chat remember Hollis Thompson?
Thank you. Thank you. Wow. I was waiting. And you know what's so funny? If Deuce had picked Hollis Thompson, he'd have been like, of course Morgan knows him. She called some of his G League games. I would not have remembered
That's
him.
That's sad, man. Sorry,
that I
Hollis.
Don't remember? Oh, come on. My brain just doesn't do that.
All right. So I'll give myself a point for that.
So we have one more basketball birthday.
I want the basketball birthday.
Okay. The last basketball birthday.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't get that for basketball birthday?
No, because then you play the sounder and you can't hear the sounder, but go ahead. Just, who's the basketball birthday?
Happy birthday, April 3rd, to Frank Mason III, former Sacramento
Frank
King.
Mason III.
G League MVP.
Good knowledge. Yeah, won that with the Wisconsin Herd. Of course, National Player of the Year when he went to Kansas. Second round pick by the Sacramento Kings.
Showing off.
Well, he played 4 years of college ball.
He did.
Drafted 2007. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it, you know. I'm going to say happy 28th birthday to Frank Mason III. Happy 28th.
Oh, but you're within two.
Yeah, what is it? 29?
30.
Wow.
Yep, 30 years old. 30? So
Frank Mason III is 30?
He's 30. He was born in 1994. Damn. 30
well,
years
within
old.
Two, we count it. Thank you very much.
Congratulations.
Let's get to
fill in the
stat sheet. I need to bounce back from that.
All right. So our next question. Coming into tonight, Domas Sabonis was fourth in the NBA with 2,651 total minutes played.
Wow.
In the sack era, who leads the Kings with the most minutes played in a season? Want me to ask the question again?
Yeah, one more time. Sabonis.
Coming into tonight, Domas Sabonis was fourth in the NBA with 2,651 total minutes played. In the sack era, who leads the Kings with the most minutes played in a season?
I am going to go. I think here's my logic on this.
Love your logic.
Back in the 90s, we didn't have minute restrictions, really. I'm going to a guy who would play like 47 minutes in a playoff game. Hall of Famer, The Rock, Mitch Richmond, all-time minutes leader in a season.
All right, you ready?
No.
Do you get one more?
I just want to guess for fun. That one got me. Okay. I thought for sure it was Mitch Richmond. Maybe I can get some help from the crowd.
You guys, that's...
It's too much.
You got to say a name.
Man, people in the chat were guessing Mitch, too. I mean, yeah, I thought Mitch was the one. I am honestly stunned by that.
Thanks, Woolsey.
Okay, now we got to recalibrate here. You know, DeMarcus would be an intriguing one because he had to play a lot of minutes, but he would get in foul trouble a lot, and that would hurt you. Man, Jason Williams, definitely not. Someone said Jason Martin. I don't know who that is. You're combining Kevin Martin and Jason, maybe?
That's awesome. Definitely him then.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Okay, can you give me a hint, like, within the last 10 years, by chance? 5 years?
No.
Okay.
Man. This, I'm not going to give you any hints, so you either have to guess it, and we got to move on, or you don't get it.
Okay. My next guess, most minutes played in the Sacramento era. Ron Artest. No. Okay, go ahead and give it
All right,
to me.
The answer is Peja Stojakovic in a single season, right? In a season. And with 3,264 minutes, he was averaging 40.3 minutes per game.
Damn, Rick Adelman?
Yep.
What year was that?
No rest, baby.
You don't have the year on that?
I don't have the year on
that.
Now
I got to look that up. Peja averaged 40 minutes a game in a season? Yeah, dude, 0-3-0-4 when he finished fourth in MVP voting. The guy played 40.3 minutes a night.
Better finish.
Damn, Edelman, like Tom Thibodeau out there, running guys in the ground. Holy shit.
Okay, I have two more.
Okay.
Fill in the stat sheet.
Let's go.
All right. De'Aaron Fox extended his steal streak to 21 games tonight. Who leads the Kings franchise with the most games in a row with at least one steal? Note, steal streak limited to single season.
It's easy. Doug Christie.
All right.
The guy was a menace.
A bonus. How many games was the streak?
If I get it exactly right, it's bonus?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly right. Yeah. No, it's not within two. This isn't the birthday portion of Ball is Life.
32.
I know. It's okay. He was close. 28.
28.
So, De'Aaron's seven away.
Wow.
Okay. So this I love.
Okay.
So the last one for fill in the stat sheet on Ball is Life. Yeah. Thank you. Keon Ellis is making a huge impact for the Kings as an undrafted player. Among active players, who leads the league in total minutes played for undrafted players?
Like right now?
Right now. So an active undrafted player.
Dude, who leads the NBA?
Yep. In minutes played.
Oops. I didn't mean to play that. Oh, my God.
So I'll say it again for the crowd. Keon Ellis is making a huge impact for the Kings as an undrafted player. Among active players, who leads the league in total minutes played for undrafted players? Cool little stat. I love showing some love to Keon Ellis and obviously being in that undrafted category and guys making some big impacts and playing some big minutes. And I've got a list of 10, but...
We have a list of 10?
Yeah, but...
I think I can... Do I have to name the guy right now, or can I like name one of the 10?
Name one of the 10.
One of my guesses I'm throwing out there.
Yeah?
I'm going to say Duncan Robinson.
It's okay. He can be wrong sometimes. Okay,
that wasn't like the... I did not think he was number one.
I know. Okay. I was just letting you know with the buzzer.
My goodness.
Wrong with that.
So you're just thinking about the league. You're thinking about the league and you're going, who undrafted. Could that be?
Undrafted and active.
Oh my God. Okay. Give me the music in, please.
Oh, yes.
How about Brad Miller being an all-star multiple times and he was undrafted? You know, there's a lot of guys who were late picks. Jimmy Butler, a late pick, but he was drafted. Jokic, drafted. Second round pick, though. My goodness. Shout out Isaiah Thomas back in the league. Last pick of the draft.
Drafted.
You know, it's like the names are. I'm going like I'm trying to go by the team. By the team.
It's hard. I mean, Dallas. I would not. Looking Phoenix. At the list, you're going to be like, oh my God! But like, it's not going to be top of mind. God, I love this music.
That's a great. Honestly, Woolsey, huge credit to you for this question. Let's look at the chat. Alvarado being mentioned. Dude, you guys are... That's a great one. That's it. This is right.
Nope.
Fred VanVleet has to be up there. This is from the chat, though. I'm not taking credit for this. Fred VanVleet.
Yep.
He's number one?
No.
Wow!
He's in the seventh spot.
Wow!
Seventh spot for Fred VanVleet.
That's crazy.
I know. I'm excited to tell you. So guess one more for fun, and then let me tell you. Because like it's just like
Alex Caruso.
You guys, I know.
Austin Reeves.
Oh my God! They even. You're not thinking. Yeah. You got to think old.
Oh, I was going current guys.
They're current.
Go ahead. Just go. I don't know.
So Wesley Matthews is the number one.
He's still in the league. I know. Hawks.
And that's what I'm saying. 28,570 minutes.
So these are career minutes. Yeah. Yeah.
So Robert Covington.
Robert Covington. I wouldn't have got that one.
And he's at 17,000.
Wes Matthews is a great one.
Joe Ingles at number three. That's where I was like, old. Justin Holiday. Ish Smith. Garrett Temple.
Ish and Garrett Temple still in the league with the Raptors.
Fred VanVleet, obviously. And then Dorian Finney-Smith with 14,000.
Wow.
Royce O'Neal. And then TJ McConnell. Top 10. Yeah, it's a good, great job, Will Z. Make sure you check him out on Twitter, on Threads, Will Z Stats.
That's an unbelievable question.
Yep.
That's an unbelievable question. So I think part of it, too, I'm just going to be completely honest, yeah. And maybe it's my listening comprehension skills. In my head, I was thinking of, like,
active
current guys, yes. Like this season minutes,
too. Oh, I know.
Too.
I know. But, like, you did that with the last two things, though, where...
Are you sure you said career? It's fine.
Yeah, I said... Keon Ellis is making a huge impact for the Kings as an undrafted player. Among active players, who leads the league in total minutes played for undrafted players?
In their career would have. If that, it's fine. The career thing would have. I'm just going to say from a technicality, I need to hear career in that.
Jesus,
I didn't hear anything. I was thinking about this season. Okay. That's why I'm like, oh, Duncan Robinson's playing more. You know, Gabe Vincent hasn't played enough. Like
me and my team. It is noted, and we will help you out next
time. So I'm just saying, be better.
Oh, my God. I'm super excited. Wilsey's going to help me a lot on these as we keep going
Stanley
forward.
Says, I was thinking this year. Okay, thank you. Thank you. I had no chance.
You guys.
Hey, you know what? The good game show hosts are dead. Trebek's no longer with us. The guy was an icon.
Can you even picture if you were asking me these questions?
No.
I'd walk out.
I do think next time.
Yeah.
We do this when we mix in some games, having some contestants might be fun in the future going head to head with us too.
Oh, I'd like that.
I want to get some final thoughts real fast. My final thought, I want to give a huge, huge shout out to Lindsey Harding and the Stockton Kings coaching staff. Lindsey Harding was named NBA G League Coach of the Year tonight. She was at the game, got a great ovation from the fans at Golden 1 Center. It's just shows you how impactful she's been this year. The Stockton Kings have the best record in the G League. They will have a home playoff game against the Santa Cruz Warriors on Thursday, April 4th at 7 p.m. You should be there. I looked at my, it said April 3rd. I just realized, oh, it's after midnight.
Yeah.
So you got to be there for that. But shout out to her. And it's her coaching staff too, right? Yep. Like she would say as much. That whole staff has done a great job with that group and they're playing winning basketball. It's a big time deal for her.
It's a huge deal for her, for obviously the Stockton Kings organization. I know for us, we feel super proud calling games for the last five seasons or four, I think five. Wow. But either way, it's just like, and then you see her take on this role and just execute. And the coaching staff, everyone, a lot of great people, just super happy that it's translated into some winning basketball out there.
They've won a lot, and it's also like groundbreaking. She's the first woman to win G League Coach of the
Badass,
Year, which
dude.
Is awesome. So congratulations to her. I mean, she spent years with the Sacramento Kings. This is her first season in the G League.
So badass.
Yeah.
It's just a great accomplishment.
And the challenges of being a G League coach are unlike any challenges that coaches face. I mean, constant guys.
Turnover.
Great example. Jalen Noel has been a key piece to the Stockton Kings this year. Well, he just signed a 10-day contract with the Pistons. Congrats to him. But this is right before their playoff game, you know? And, like, the Kings are going back east. The Sacramento Kings are going back east. So, like, it's like, all right, what players are going to need to stay with Sacramento? Or do you – Colby, like, okay, you get to go. But can we have you go? Mason's a big part of Stockton. You know, though it's a challenge. So my whole point to that is they juggle a lot of adversity. So shout out to Lindsey Harding and the Stockton Kings.
Yeah, super happy for them.
Yeah. And shout out to all you guys. Shout out to Will Z for providing us those questions.
Give me a hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to Kings for coming through tonight. We'll be back live late night following Kings and Knicks. You got anything else?
That's it.
We love you, but we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.